What I have here for you is, it's just 4 minutes long. It'll be very brief. This is from March 16th, 1968. April, May, June, about 3 months before he was assassinated. And this is when he was announcing his candidacy for the presidency of the United States. We decided to play this simply because we do forget. We get caught up in the events surrounding Scott Peterson and his dead wife, and we forget things like Robert F. Kennedy's announcement that he would run for the presidency of the United States. I want you to listen, if you would please, to what he has to say here. A lot of this is dated, yes, but listen to the overarching themes in this announcement and then consider where the Democratic Party is today. A. B. Consider where the Bush crime family is.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. I do not run for the presidency merely to oppose any man, but to propose new policies. I run because I am convinced that this country is on a perilous course, and because I have such strong feelings about what must be done, and I feel that I'm obliged to do all that I can. I run to seek new policies, policies to end the bloodshed in Vietnam and in our cities, policies to close the gaps that now exist between black and white, between rich and poor, between young and old, in this country and around the rest of the world. I run for the presidency because I want the Democratic Party and the United States of America to stand for hope instead of despair, for reconciliation of men instead of the growing risk of world war. I run because it is now unmistakably clear that we can change these disastrous, divisive policies only by changing the men who are now making them. But the reality of recent events in Vietnam has been glossed over with illusions. No one who knows what I know about the extraordinary demands of the presidency can be certain that any mortal can adequately fill that position. As a member of the cabinet and a member of the Senate, I have seen the inexcusable and ugly deprivation which causes children to starve in Mississippi, black citizens to riot in Watts, young Indians to commit suicide on their reservations because they've lacked all hope and they feel they have no future, and proud and able-bodied families to wait out their lives in empty idleness in eastern Kentucky. I have traveled and I have listened to the young people of our nation and felt their anger about the war that they are sent to fight and about the world that they are about to inherit. In private talks and in public, I have tried in vain to alter our course in Vietnam before it further saps our spirit and our manpower, further raises the risks of wider war, and further destroys the country and the people it was meant to save. I cannot stand aside from the contest that will decide our nation's future and our children's future. I do not lightly dismiss the dangers and the difficulties of challenging an incumbent president. But these are not ordinary times, and this is not an ordinary election. At stake is not simply the leadership of our party and even our country. It is our right to the moral leadership of this planet. I thank you.